You can be seated, but you don't have to stay seated. But this is the scripture.
Or you can do anything.
When it says, now, this is, you know, Isaiah 50 says that he's given me the tongue of the learned that I may know how to speak a word in due season. And that word due season is what I was focusing on. That I may know how to speak a word in due season to him who is weary. Due season. I like the way it says in the Message Bible, he says, the Master God gives me a well-taught tongue. This is really the scripture that I always have kind of hung my hat on. I will know how, and this is the part that stuck out, that I will know how to encourage tired people. That I would know how to encourage tired people. It's a word in season to him that is weary, and a word in season, he said, it will encourage tired people.
How many have heard her before?
So now listen, tonight, now I'm telling you, we start our 39th year. Aren't you glad the word of God is like fresh manna? I mean, every day, you think I already know that, and then you're reading that, and you see something you ain't never seen before, and you realize no matter what you've seen, there's a whole flood, ocean full of stuff you have yet to see. So now there is a word to encourage tired people. Aren't you glad? He never gets tired. You might, but he never does. And if you learn to focus on him, he'll help you. So now we're going to put that together with this. Well, I can't. I don't know. Maybe I won't do that yet. But Hebrews 11:11, just this one verse, because it stuck out to me. Because it's talking about time, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more tonight. But it said that Sarah, by faith, she received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who promised. I like the Amplified Bible, or it says, she received physical power, talking about that must be encouraging and making someone, you know, have some strength when they were maybe a little worn out. She received physical power to conceive a child, but look what's right next to it. Even when she was long past the age for it. Because she considered God, who had given her the promise, to be reliable and trustworthy to his word. Weymouth says it like this. Through faith, even Sarah herself received strength to become a mother, although she was past the time of life for this. Feel like it's over, but past the time. The time has passed away. Well, come on tonight. Receive strength by faith. Don't be discouraged. The word of God will encourage tired, discouraged people. If Sarah can receive the strength to conceive the word from God, I believe he can do it for you tonight. I believe he's going to do it for all of us, because we are living in the day when the word of God is the Bible says it's alive. I'm shouting with thousands. I feel like Elijah, hallelujah, when his servant went out and said, oh God, oh Elijah, oh Master, oh there are so many that we're surrounded by the enemy. And Elijah prayed, remember in 1 Kings? He said, I pray, oh Lord, open his eyes so he can see there are more with us than there are against us.
Listen.
Ooh, and then he saw the angels and the fire of God where he once saw the enemy.
All
right, go ahead.
I know how to act Jewish because my mother's Jewish, Baptist, Pentecostal, Southern Baptist. I know how to act all that way, but I'm just so excited. I don't come to church just to sit and just hang out and just, you know, get on like this and leave. No. I come because I'm hungry. I go to church because I've got somewhere to go. I've got something to do. And I just, I need it. I'm like an addict, you know. I'm just, I've got a world to change. The weight of it on my shoulders. I'm light everywhere I go. Light and Kmart, light at the Walmart, light, 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 light at the airports, light where I eat, light, light, light. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Do you know Jesus? I'll talk to anybody, anywhere, not because I'm so social, but because I care. There's a difference, you know what I'm saying? I might be the one that passes there by them that their grandmother has prayed for you. I've talked to some people and they say, oh, it's just my luck. I'm parked. I'm just next. I'm sitting next to you on the plane. I'll go, do you have a mama? More times out of 10, they say, yeah, and she's praying for me. And more times out of 10, I don't know what I'm saying.
More often than not.
More often than not.
They, you know,
or nine times
I went
out
to college.
Ten.
But, you know, I went to college and I had a D average. I went 2 years. Not, okay. That's when I started backsliding. That's why when these songs come out, they're coming from my spirit. Ooh, call me redeemed. You calling my name? Do you see this name tag? The blood is over me. Nobody knows any more than I do what I did. Nobody knows any more than I do what I did. Nobody knows except my Father, who redeemed me by the blood of the Lamb. And said, now get back out there. Don't you see what's going on? Get back out there. I was witness to a German girl in Miami. I like to go to Miami because that's where my grandfather was, the one from the old country. And I go out in the ocean with all the Jews, you know, and just talk. Yes, I was Jewish. My mother was Jewish, but now we're Christians. That goes over well, but I still talk. But they like it. You know why? Because they, I don't know, for some reason they like me. And I was on the beach and we were doing an RMAI thing in Florida. And I went way down because I didn't want anybody to see me, for all the pastors were one end of the beach. And
you didn't have any makeup on.
No makeup, you know, and something. They ain't seeing me in no makeup. So I went down. You know, there might be a single pastor there. You never know. You know. And so you got to think, ladies. Okay, and so what happened is... I was down there sitting, and this little German girl, I listened to her, you know, her accent and stuff. I said, hey, where are you from? Germany. And we start talking, and I told her all about the king. I told her all about the Savior. I told her we had been in Germany. I told her, oh, the Germans, they just go wild when we sing, because the Germans are so, you know, they just go, you know, they just go, hurry, and they
now
just
this
jump.
Was, you know, a few years ago. And they
but had, I was telling her. And
there
I
were
said,
no, there was no Rhema Germany there at that
there
time.
There was no Rhema Germany, but we had been there. We had been there with John.
Right.
Yeah, but he just had a church, I think, at that
yes,
time.
Yes, that's right.
And so, just a church, excuse me. And so, Father, forgive me. And so what happened is she said, this is really interesting. She said, who are you? And I said, you want to know who I am? I said, I'm one of God's choices. Choices. You are blessed. I'm sitting here on this beach. I winked, you know. I was just, she went, you are so funny. And I said, we're singing tonight. Come hear us. She said, well, I have my father. And she said, we've never heard this. I said, come see us. We're staying at the same hotel. She came. They came in the back and sat down and listened to the words of Christ. Now, why did I do that? Because I'm just so outgoing? No. I saw a fish. In the ocean. Oh, I went fishing. Just perchance I could get her. Do you know if you're going to? No, but just perchance. I come because we're in a fight. And this is my ammunition. This is my manual. Oh, somebody says, what do you think about something? I go, well, I don't know. Let me see what I think. Oh, well, I think right should be right and wrong should be wrong is what I think. No matter how popular it is, that's what I think. Am I making any sense? Well, do you think this is normal? Well, let me see. Oh, no, I don't think that's normal. Nope. I think right should be right and wrong should be wrong and holy.
Not according to how I think, but what according to God's word.
Because you see, I had been on so many drugs and stuff, and I thought, I got it. What do I think? I'll tell you. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, you know, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me. The person who died with Christ, you know, no, that's not the one who's alive anymore. And I would not serve sin. No, I tell you how I think. I listen to my Father, and I say all of those things He says. Let me tell you what I think. Yeah, what do you think? Oh, I think, I'll tell you what I think. Every tongue, every tribe, every nation, every person, I'll tell you there's one in Christ, male nor female. No, that's what I think. What do you believe about all these people getting together? I think it's great because there's only one new creation in Christ. That's what I think. Is that making any sense? I think I'm talking to the right people. I think I'm talking to the people. I asked the Lord today, I said, let's just have another Azusa. Of course, I know there's only one Azusa, don't get me wrong, but you see my heart, don't you? Let's have another Hebrides revival right here in the Poconos, up here on this hill, right here. Let's just pour out your spirit so strong. Everybody's going to find out what's happening over there. What's going on? Man, I mean, what is happening? What's going on there? Have you heard about what's happened there? The glory fell. Listen, it's happened before when we've gone in places. And whether we're there or who else is there, I don't care. I said, Lord, do it. Let's do it. Let's do it again.
We're having lunch with T.L. Osborne a few years back before he passed away. And we were sitting, we had gone a couple of different times, and this time in particular we were talking about revival. And so I'm talking to T.L. Osborne, and we were so privileged that he was embracing toward us. We were friends with him and his wife Daisy, and the first time we ever went to France was with them. And we were talking about revival in France. We'd get these, before we'd go to France, sometimes we'd get a letter in the mail from him personally. He had written it, and there would be a check in there from him personally, not from the ministry, from T.L. Osborne, to say, please don't stop. I know it's not been easy, but please don't quit. Please don't stop going. And so we were there, and we were talking, and he said, we're talking about revival. And so he looks across. We were at a Chinese restaurant. I'll never forget. And he looks across and he says, well, let me tell you what F.F. Bosworth told me. Now, this is not what he heard him say. See, F.F. Bosworth was a mentor to T.L. Osborne and was responsible for T.L. Osborne becoming one of the youngest
sectional
directors of the Assembly of God. I forget the exact title.
He was 20. 20
or 21. 21. And so he said, well, let me tell you what F.F. Bosworth told me. And so I'm being very respectful. I said, can I write this down? Because I figure, you know, I want to be able to tell somebody else. And so, but I've never forgotten it. And he said, oh, sure, of course. And then he said, this is what he told me concerning revival. He said, never say it just happens. Always say it took place.
There's a difference.
Never say it just happened. You know, it kind of gets the idea of, you know, God up in heaven with a blindfold on and just kind of throwing a dart at a board and let's just
we're hungry, Lord.
No, he said, never say it just happens. Always say it took place. And now listen, revival, the stirring of God in His God's people being stirred, revived, the life in places where it comes and it breathes into them again, the very breath of life in areas, and it revives and restores and renews. The times of refreshing come. Doesn't just happen. It takes place. And what's taking place is has to do with the purpose and plan of God that man yields or submits to. You could say there's a timing to it, but it's not just an abstract time. And so today I was in the room and you know, praying and just kind of just musing over different scriptures.
And these scriptures just kind of started just getting real hot on the inside of me, you know? The Bible says in Jeremiah, he said, your word was like a fire shut up in my bone. I could not keep it back. He said, I was just so weary. I was so, so weary. But oh, I was revived because of the fire from the word of God.
Letting it out.
Letting it out. So I'm going to let it out right now.
Let it out.
Because I'm telling you.
I'm
telling you, God's got something that's taking place in, Redeeming Love Christian Center. Did I say it right? It's taking place. I said, it is taking place. It's taking place here. And if you don't believe me, you know what? I don't really care, because you can. The Bible says in Romans 3, if everybody in the world says it ain't true, he said, God is not a liar. And if everybody in the world says, I don't believe, he says it would. I like what one translation says. It would be disappointing, but it would not make one iota of difference. Glory to God. So I'm just here to tell you, you know, timing and things taking place, they don't just happen. Timing is very important. God's got a plan and a purpose, and as we yield to his plan, things begin to change, and there's a way things happen. I like to say, some people say, well, it's just late. It's just late. That's what Sarah was saying in her tent. It's too late. It's just too late. And then the angel said, where did you get that idea? You know, in fact, this is how he said it to her in Genesis. I was reading it. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. I think I put it in my notes. I was reading it today, and I was going to read it to you. In Genesis 18, verse 14, the angel, you say, what were the words that caused her to receive strength to conceive seed when she was past the time for it? The Bible says in Genesis 18, verse 14, the angel of the Lord looked at her and said, is anything too hard for God? So I'm just asking you tonight, is anything too hard for God? Now, it might be too hard for you. In fact, Sarah knew this is not going to happen if it depends on me. It was too hard for Sarah. I'll guarantee you the promise that God has given you, without his presence, without his purpose, without his timing, it will be something you will look at and say, this is too hard for me. Now, if you're doing that, I'm here tonight to give you a word to cause you to get the one that is tired or discouraged. I'm here to help revive, restore, and strengthen, because God's word says, is anything too hard for God? Words that strengthen Sarah. God, literally a word to her that said, God will make your life count. It may be late, but it's not too late. Is anything too hard? Now, what the Amplified Bible says, is anything too hard or too wonderful for the Lord? And then he says, at the appointed time, when the season for delivery comes around, I will return to you, and Sarah will have a son. In other words, there was timing, but yet here was Sarah receiving the word that literally put her in the position for it to take place. Now I want to back up, huh? I want to show you something here now. Come on, And I want us to look at some scriptures from the Word of God, because God has a plan, an unstoppable, undefeatable plan. The devil doesn't have a plan. He's just trying his, if you want to call it a plan, but he doesn't have a plan. He's just trying to stop the plan of God. But God has a plan. He doesn't just have a plan. He has pre-planned. He's out ahead of the curve, brother and sister. He's not trying to play catch up. You might be, but he's not. Nothing's too hard for God. So God has a plan. And although the plans of man fail, The plan of God never fails. I have a scripture on that. Acts chapter 5, when they had brought the disciples before the powers of that day, and they were trying to determine what to do, and someone named Gamaliel, who had gone through, knew he was a teacher of the law, he knew the story of how that God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery. He knew the story of how the Red Sea, the waters parted. He knew the story of how when Pharaoh's army tried to come and run after them, that the Bible said that God fought for them. Hot dog, brother. You don't just have God fighting with you. You got God fighting for you. And so Gamaliel, after he was observing to these things, he said to them, in verse 38, he says, "Now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you will not be able to stop it." And then he says this, and he says, "If it is God, you won't be able to stop it. You might even be found to fight against God." Why did he say that? Because he knew the stories of how God would fight the battles of those who were trusting in him and walking in his plan. And when they came to a place where it was too hard for them, it wasn't too hard for God.
That's right.
Ooh, he caused the Red Sea to part waters, and they walked through like it was dry ground. Joshua, literally, God fought for them. And then when Joshua was trying to finish the battle and he was fatigued, the Bible says God made the sun stand still. It was too hard for Joshua, but it wasn't too hard for God. And Joshua was on God's side. So anything too hard for God? Many Christians have no clue the hour that we're living in. The hour is urgent. The devil's hard at work. But we are to be up and about the work and the purpose of God. We are not to be asleep. In the height of the Hebrides revival, sometimes the meeting would last into the late hours of the morning, and crowds would often spill outside the church building. On one such occasion of the story, a neighboring woman approached a church elder to complain about the noise. Full of the Holy Spirit, the elder replied, "Woman, haven't you slept long enough? It's not the time to be asleep." In fact, the Word of God tells us exactly in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, "Knowing the time, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now," you say, "Why? Why does it matter?" Our salvation is closer now than when we first believed. He said, "It is high time to awake out of sleep." Now I'm going to give you two words, actually three, that'll help you to understand how things take place in God's purpose and plan. This first word that's here for time is the word where he says it's high time to awake out of sleep in Romans 13, 11. The word time there is the word, and it's in the Greek, K-A-I-R-O-S. It looks like Cairo syrup with an S. But obviously it's the Greek word there for time. And it says the word there for time is called, it's from the word K-A-I-R-O-S. It means opportunity or season. It's referring to an opening in time, a moment when a sense of meaningful change permeates the air. It hints of a transformational moment or opportunity to literally turn things around. Let me give you an example what it means to literally the opportunity to turn things around. Hundreds of years ago, when people mainly lived near the oceans, the word
opportunity, which is the word that K-A-I-R-O-S represents best, came, the meaning of the word came from when hundreds of years ago, when people mainly lived near the ocean. It came from the time when ships needed to wait until the tide was in before heading out to sea. Otherwise, the ship would run aground. In the Latin language, the word O-B-P-O-R-T-U described, that's where we get our word opportunity. It described the perfect moment when time and tide converged for a ship to get underway. That's what happens, K-A-I-R-O-S. That's what happens, a time, an opportunity, when a life-changing event, something that's eternal and significant, meets with you at just the right moment. Urgency or opportunity and ability come together. And at that moment, you have the chance, the opportunity to fulfill the divine purpose of God. Hallelujah. Woo! It's when your boat meets with his tide and you are carried to the place that he has planned for you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The time, this word, it's literally, if you want to say it, it's the quality of the time. It's what it means, a moment or event that's filled with meaning or importance. It's not how much time, it's the quality of the time. Oh, glory to God. Stay with me now. We're going to get this. He says, once again, Romans 13:11, knowing the time, the quality, the meaning, or the opportunity. He said, it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. It says it's high time, or the Message Bible says, make sure you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations, you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. So now that kind of tells me the way that you're put, you know, it takes place is by making sure you keep yourself aware of what God is doing. The things that determine the decisions that you make, don't let them be the thing. Listen, if you make decisions at the wrong time, fatigue is never, never the place you want to make life-altering decisions, because you'll be moved by the wrong thing. But if you're moved by the right things, your ship is in position to be carried out with an opportunity that comes from God. And I'm here to tell you, my brothers and sisters, I see another wave. Woo! I see the tide is rolling in. And you say, I don't know what to do. Don't be like Sarah and say, it's just too hard for me. Just go ahead and receive strength to conceive the seed that the promise of God has given you by saying what the word said to her. Nothing is too hard for God. Praise the Lord. All right, so here it is. Let me give you another scripture here real quick. It's the same for the word for opportunity, or the meaning of time. Ephesians chapter 5 says it like this. Verse 14. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead. Christ will give you light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. He said, listen, the Amplified Bible says, live purposefully, worthily, accurately, not as the unwise and witless. That's why we got so many talk shows. They're not aware of God's purpose this hour. What God can do right now. They're just aware of all the things that keep them discouraged, worn out, and just make them hide away and say, it can't happen for me. And God is looking for someone who become aware of what he's doing and step out of their inability and let him carry you into the place he's called you to. Don't be Listen, I'll read it. He says, the Amplified Bible says, live purposefully, worthily, accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, intelligent, sensible people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. You know what he's telling you? If you don't, it's kind of like what they say, you know, life can be like children's church. If you don't have something planned for them, they got something planned for you. You say, I don't got a plan. I'm just kind of letting life take me where it goes. Well, I got news for you. The days are evil. And if you want to die with a smile on your face, it won't be because the current of this world has given you a golden memory of life. It will be because you fought the good fight of faith. And when things looked rough, you looked to the one who was standing on top of the storm. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. He says, making most of every opportunity. And here's another one. I'll give you this one, then we'll move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. This is such a good one. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. The New Living Translation says, God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time, K-A-I-R-O-S, K-R-O syrup, the right time is now. The right what? The right opportunity, the meaning and significance and purpose of God that is wrapped up in a person who has faith and takes that word and lets it lets it strengthen them so they can move on with the tide that God has brought them to. Now, he says, now is the right time. Today is the day of salvation. Literally, the sense of immediacy is declared here. How God's mercy and grace is available right now at this very moment. And he's saying it's very important that you seize the opportunity, that you allow God's plan to take place. Now, that's the one word. I'm telling you, it's time. And then there's another word for time, and it's the word that where we actually get our word for chronological time, and it literally is the word K-H-R-O-N-O-S. It's a quantity of time. It's a linear measurement of historical change. I like that one Bible commentary, and it's used in most clearly many other places, but this one helps you understand the meaning, I think, best. Since I'm preaching, I'll use this one. Galatians 4:4. When the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Now he's talking about it was marked on the calendar. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was marked on the calendar. In fact, the Message Bible says, when the time arrived that was set by God, the Amplified, when the proper time had fully come. So in other words, it was a time, a quantity of time, a specific time. It was marked. It was not just the idea of it, but it was a specific period of time. Now we have Kairos. I don't know how you say it. No, the other one. K-A-R, K-R-O syrup with an S. Chaos, I don't know how you say it. Anyway, which means a quality or meaning or opportunity. And you have chronos, however you say it. I don't know, Rick Renner, forgive me. That means literally a quantity of time. And when this quantity, when this place hits, he says, it happened. Now, literally, if we understand the life of faith, you kind of put those two words together. I mean, we're not here by accident. No. I mean, your whole life, everybody you know may have said, yeah, he was an accident.
But I'm here to tell you, you're no accident. And what got started off on the wrong foot, God can make it. The Bible says, what's turned out of the way, he can straighten it out. Glory to God. You say, I'm on a cry, my life's all messed up. Well, the Bible says, and the crooked places shall be made straight. He'll straighten out all those crooked things. How will he do that? With his purpose and his planned out time. Quantity and quality come together. And I actually had never seen this before, but these two words coming together are actually illustrated in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. And as I've read this verse many times, but I never realized how the significance of the moment compared with the timing. I mean, you know, timing is everything. Just ask the squirrel on the side of the road. It matters. It matters. The meaning of what is going on right now. It's not just about seeing, oh, this is the meaning, but it's putting yourself in the place where the timing, the quality, and the moment come together, the quantity, the place. And when it does, Hebrews 11 happens. It says, through faith. Now, Hebrews 11 is all about faith. Now, am I too wordy for you? Because I'm telling you, this is just the setup. Hebrews 11 says, through faith, we understand that that's the word I'm looking for. It comes from the word A-I-O-N-O-S. It's where we get our word eon. And it literally describes not just, it's a specific amount of time, but it's not just, you know, chronos. It's a specific amount of time, but it's not just an amount of time. It's an amount of time that is filled with meaning. And when you look it up, this word A-I-O-N-O-S, it literally says this word is let me read the part here. It says it compares with these two words, chronos and kairos. And it literally is a word that denotes a period of time that is filled with a space or a season that is marked off by God Almighty in the lives of men and women who receive a promise from God, and they live out a period of specifically marked off time with an opportunity from God. Am I saying this clear? Hebrews 11:3, he says, through faith we understand that worlds, literally, the worlds, a specific, allotted, a period of time, a decade, a century, millennium. It's not the same amount of time, but it's just set apart for a specific purpose. So it kind of gives you the meaning of chronos. But then he says, but it also denotes an influence or an opportunity of a particular generation. In other words, it's not just that moment, but it's that moment that matters because of God's promise that brings a purpose and an opportunity to get your ship out of the dirt and move on. So Hebrews 11 said, through faith we understand. Worlds were framed. The word frame means to be repaired. It means to be restored. It means to be made ready. He said, through faith we understand that times, worlds, a particular period of time was through faith we understand that worlds, times were repaired, restored, remade by those who received by the word, the rhema word of God. So things that are seen were not made out of things which do appear. What are you looking at? I can guarantee you there's something that's already been made that is designed to keep you from seeing the opportunity. The Bible calls it a mountain. And it's designed to cause you to say, that's just too hard. That's too big. Don't you see that? That's too much. You're halfway right. That would be too much
if you didn't have faith in God. And he says this about faith in God when he says here that through faith we understand the worlds were reframed, remade, and when he says worlds, he means time. He means a specific time when men and women lived, and during this time they recognized the purpose of God, and it became their purpose. God's purpose became their purpose. Now listen, that doesn't just happen. It takes place. And it takes place in people who do what Hebrews 11:3 says. That they, by faith, they frame with the word of God. And it gets on. And it says, it goes on down to verse 11. For by faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past her kairos. It looked like she didn't have an opportunity. It looked like she had missed it. But by faith, literally, the meaning of her life changed and altered her time. Oh! It's not about how old you are. It's not about how long you've been doing and trying to figure it out. That has nothing to do with it. It's about whether you can take a hold of something that can cause God's opportunity to meet with your inability and move you on into the place he's called you to. Oh, well, he goes on and he says this. I'm almost getting there, but this is really good. So he goes on and he says in verse 40, and he says, now God has provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect, as one translation says, or complete apart from us. Well, you say, what is that talking about? He's saying God has a planned out purpose, a strategic chronos, a kairos put together for us in this hour, just as surely as Noah was planned out at that time with God's purpose, God's word, to build a boat for the saving of the world. Of the world. That was God's opportunity and God's word at God's chronos that caused that to happen. And now he gets there and he talks about all of them, Sarah, Joshua. He talks about, I want you to know what he doesn't talk about. You don't read one verse in Hebrews 11 about their problem. Not one verse. You know, it's like that friend of ours who said he was praying and he was just having a hard time praying because he was thinking about all the things that people were saying about him and all the things that were just made him, you know, just all the things that were being said and things that were just you know, things that just kind of made him feel bad. And he got quiet and he said, the Lord said, well, that's not what I say about you. I thought you were talking to me. That's not what I say about you. I'm talking about the opportunity and the moment coming together and you being carried with it. It doesn't just happen. It takes place. So he said, there's a better, that word better literally means stronger. It's from the word kratos, you know, which means stronger, most excellent. He said, there's something stronger. There's something greater. There's something even more that's coming. And he said, it's in you. It's in us, the men and women of faith who are reading these words. He said, something better, something greater than Noah building a boat, something greater than Abraham on the altar receiving the promised seed as good as from the dead. Something greater than Moses bringing the children of Israel out of the 400 years of slavery. Something greater. And you just might want to take a look in the mirror tonight and say, I'm better. I'm better than that. Noah knows it. Abraham knows it. Joshua knows it. And I'm telling you, I'm better than that. And so he says something better.
I'm talking about that moment coming together. And so he sums it up here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, you know, which is right after Hebrews 11, 40. He says, therefore, you know, I went to Bible school. They tell you when you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for. Well, I just told you what it was there for. There's something better. There's something stronger. There's something greater. A moment has come where the meaning of your life can change. When everything that the devil's ever tried to do to define you matters no longer. Therefore, so we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness. Can I get a witness? Yeah, I got a witness, all right. He said, you're surrounded by them. You're surrounded by them. You're surrounded by stories of men and women who ran their race. And I don't know if you've read 1 Corinthians 9 or not, but it says if you've ever been in a race, I mean, if you've ever watched a race, you will realize that in a race, everybody runs. All run, the King James says. In other words, every single one of you have a race to run. Don't sit back and say you don't. Don't miss your opportunity. Receive strength. Conceive that which will cause the will of God to come right out of you and who you are. Being surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us. Now, you know, I've realized, you know, this, we're actually going to fly to do a funeral Sunday. This Sunday, we did a funeral a couple weeks ago. And before that, it'd been just a week ago, and then we did one right before, 3 or 4 weeks ago, at a funeral. And you know, when you get around people who are, you know, they're closer to the end than the beginning. One of the things they do is they think about time. That's why I'm telling you this tonight, because you're closer to the end than the beginning. Do you know what I mean? I'm here to tell you, you know, it's the point of no return, you know? You know, they tell pilots, you know, there's a certain place when you're flying a transatlantic flight. If you have difficulty, don't turn around. Because you're closer to your destination than you are from where you took off. I'm here to tell you, you are closer to your destination than you are where you took off. Don't be turning around now. I don't care what kind of trouble you're going to have. You just come on, let's go on. We can go all the way through. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run. So they start. I missed a part. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. This is the part I was getting to. You know, another thing people do as they get toward the end. When I say end, I mean finishing. You know, they're closer to the end than the start. Is they kind of just let go of some things. You know, they want to clear out some things that, you know, at one point in their life, it was like, no, let me have that. I got to have that. And then all of a sudden, it's like, I don't want it anymore. It clutters up my life. It's just clutter. See, that's what the world tries to do. What's he say? Don't become so consumed with the day-to-day obligations that you doze off as oblivious to God. Is there clutter? Is there something from the world that just is trying to keep you from being able to focus on what you're made for? It's like I was telling my husband today, I was reading about how that it's very important, you know, focus. You know, you're not just going somewhere, but that you are able to focus. This man who said, I found out I can accomplish 10 times more in half the time if I focus. He said, I can go 5 miles north, 5 miles west, 5 miles south, then 5 miles east. I've gone 20 miles, but I hadn't gotten anywhere. So, you know, it's like, you know, a 150-watt bulb will light a room, but 150-watt laser can cut through 3 inches of steel. I'm here to help you at this time, at this moment. To focus on that which will strengthen, which will cause you to rise, that'll cause you to not miss your wave. You know what I mean? Because brother and sister, you can mark it down. It's here.
Let us lay us. He said, so this is what I was talking about when they get you realize, because he's talking to people who are called to finish the race, you know. I mean, Hebrews 11:40 says, you know, we're the ones on whom, you know, the finish line. We're the ones. We're the ones. It's us. And he says, so lay aside every weight and the sin, which just, what's the whole purpose of it? Get you off track. Beset you. Knock you off your, elbow you off of your route. He said, lay it aside and let us run. Let us run. He doesn't say stroll. He doesn't say song. He said run. In other words, you know, some people can't run anymore. You know, they get too tired, too worn out. They just can't run. But I can guarantee you the vision of God, you can always run with it. It'll always, always give you the strength to endure. Run with endurance the race that is set before you. No, it's not back there. It's out here. It ain't back there. It's out here. Quit thinking and saying, now listen, what you've got an eyelash in my eye. What you've done is important, but it will lose its significance if you miss the moment of today. Run. That's what Hebrews 12:1 is about. It's all significant, Hebrews 11. It's all significant, Noah, Abraham, Moses. It's all significant, Joshua, Sarah. All of it's significant. But now the moment has come that you don't want to miss. So run with endurance the race set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the Message Bible says, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. Ooh. It's like we were in the airport in where were we? We were in Tulsa. This was just last month or so, and we met Brenda Thomas there, and she just happened to be there, and we were actually on our way to the mountains of Colorado. And in Tulsa that day, it was like 80-something degrees, and we had our coats on, you know, and we had our boots, and yeah, but that's not part of the story. And so, it don't matter. And so, oh, well, that might be true, but anyway. And so nobody in the airport, you know, we kind of stood out because they all had on T-shirts and flip-flops and we had on boots and coat. And so Brenda kind of looked at us a little funny and she said, why are y'all dressed like that? You know, it's not cold here. And I looked at her, I said, well, Brenda, that's because we're not dressed for where we are. We're dressed for where we're going. And she looked at me and I said, you know what I mean? I said, it's the same way with the things of God. Oh. You know, sometimes I'm shouting here and people are looking at me like, what's the matter with you? And he said, no, you're looking at where I am. I'm shouting because I see where I'm going. No, you're just looking at what I'm out here. I'm going. I'm smiling. And she had somebody saying, what's the matter? Why's she dressed like that? Put on the garment of praise. What do they dress like that for? What are they shouting like that for? It's because we're not just looking at where we are. We're shouting because we see where we're going. Glory to God. Boy, it feels good tonight. Oh, there's help from heaven here. Oh, the angels of God, the ministering spirits are sent as surely as they revive the Lord Jesus and cause him to finish, oh, what the Father God had planned out right at that moment with the meaning eternal, eternal things met in time. And at that place, everything changed. Oh, ministering spirit, you are sent to help those who are heirs of salvation. Oh, I thank you for there are more angels than devils. Devil, you have no part nor lot in this matter. I tell you and remind you that you've been defeated and you cannot stop that from coming and you can't stop that from happening, and you can't stop this from coming together, because we got our eyes on Jesus, and by faith we receive strength to conceive that which the promise of God has given to us. Woo!